Hello and welcome back to the Ever-Changing World podcast. I'm your host, Ava Zanetti, and in today's episode, we are going to go over news once again. Last week, which of course I always recommend last week's episode, I recommend you listen to it because I go into detail over the UK economic downturn, as I worded it. And this was the huge collapse of the pound, the huge, you know, debacle, if you want to call it with that, with Liz Truss and her finance minister that she eventually had to fire. And now, today, as we learned, she has resigned after only 45 days in office, which I want to speak to. This was obviously huge news. She is the UK's shortest serving prime minister in history. And now we have more history to be made with the new prime minister. So this is very, very interesting, and something I definitely need to talk about today. As well, I wanted to bring up the whole, again, as I call it, Kanye debacle. Kanye West is always hot in the news for something, but particularly, he's been in heat for his anti-Semitic comments. As well as Adidas, just a few hours ago, as I'm recording this today, Adidas breaking ties with Kanye, which is huge, huge, huge news, as Yeezy is an absolutely enormous company, huge with Adidas, and it's kind of insane, as it's all coming together and all falling apart at the same time, right? Kanye's been all over, just saying a bunch of insane stuff, and, you know, not getting away with it as well as he would particularly like. So, to begin this conversation, let's first start with a little bit of happier news, in a way, with the new Prime Minister of the UK. So, the new Prime Minister who went, people were thinking it might have been Boris Johnson, who was going to become the Prime Minister. He had resigned earlier this year, before Liz Truss came into office, and he declined the offer to come back, so it went down to some people, and then eventually it led to Rishi Sunak. I believe I'm pronouncing his name right. He will be Britain's next Prime Minister. So, the former finance minister was named the leader of the ruling Conservative Party on Monday after Boris Johnson dropped his bid for a comeback. So he was actually the finance minister, which is very interesting. So, former finance minister Rishi Sunak won the race for Britain's next prime minister Monday, the first British Asian to assume the role and the third leader in the 7 weeks of a country roiled by political and economic chaos. So, the UK has had 3 prime ministers within 7 weeks. And I believe they've had 4 prime ministers in the last 2 years or something kind of crazy like that. And I mean, they're just cycling through them like dirty laundry, right? And it's quite insane how many, you know, leaders they've been through. And really too, Liz Truss was one of, I mean, she wasn't the first woman in office. Margaret Thatcher obviously was a huge PM. And she's very, very important. But she was, you know, one of the first women. I mean, there's been less than 5. I believe she was the 3rd. And she dropped the ball, and she only lasted 45 days. So Sunak will become the latest leader of the ruling Conservative Party to enter the revolving door of number 10 Downing Street, which, of course, is where they live, following Liz Truss's resignation just 44 days after taking office. Her scandal-plagued predecessor, Boris Johnson, dropped his bid for a comeback on Sunday. In his first public statement around the results were announced, Sunak said the country faces a profound economic challenge. He went to pledge to work for stability and unity, and added that he would make it his utmost priority to unite the party and the country. Sunak's victory was confirmed after his only other challenge, Penny Morant, failed to secure the support of enough of her fellow lawmakers before the deadline. Rishi Sunak is therefore elected as the leader of the Conservative Party. Graham Brady, the Conservative lawmaker who oversees the party's leadership elections, told his colleagues who banged on tables and cheered at the announcement. Sunak, who is at 42, is said to be the youngest prime minister in more than 200 years which is a little concerning, which I'll speak to in a moment, without being invited to form a government by King Charles III. A ceremonial duty the country's new monarch will carry out for the first time. There is so much news. So much news, and it's absolutely insane. So, pretty much, first off, a little concerning that Rishi Sunak will be the youngest prime minister in 200 years. It really goes to show how our politics are run by the older generation, which is concerning, since, of course, once they kick the bucket, and a few short years after they are prime minister or president, the young generation is left with policies that don't work, that aren't modern, that aren't up to date, with these old values and these old ideals that aren't just going to cut it. So this obviously is an issue, and it's good to see younger people, but again, 42 is, it's young, but I mean, it's still not super young, right? So I mean, at least there is someone a little bit younger, but again, you know, it's concerning how old lawmakers usually are. As well, another really interesting thing here, of course, as we know, in the final years of the, or final days, sorry, of the Queen's, before the Queen's death, final days of her life, she actually said bye to Boris and said hello to Liz Truss, and did that whole ceremonial duty, and then Liz Truss ends up resigning after she dies, and now the new king, which we did have to say king while Liz Truss first got into office, when she resigned, now there's a king, and he will go through the next prime minister as well. Rishi Sunak is the first Indian or Asian person in office as a prime minister, which is insane. So we have all these really crazy firsts all happening at once. And King Charles III is not young by any means, and he actually gets to see a prime minister come in, really soon into his, you know, becoming a monarch. So this is also very, very interesting. Another interesting fact, Sunak was a finance minister, and this is what are ticking some people off. So let me read this part. A multi-millionaire former banker, Sunak was not elected by United Kingdom's 67 million people, but rather appointed by lawmakers from the Conservative Party, which was recording historic polling lows after a decade of atrocity and 18 months of controversy and division. So the big part about this, right? Sunak actually went to, Sunak went to Stanford Business School, and he, as you heard, is a multi-million former banker. So he went into politics eventually, but, you know, he's finance minister, right? So he kind of entered politics as a side thing. And people are kind of mad because they're like, yeah, great, you know, there's a first Indian person in office, it's great, whatever. But can we also recognize that this guy is super rich and he's kind of just going to squeeze, you know, he's going to make new policies that are really beneficial to him, etc., etc. But you could also argue that every politician does that. I mean, we've seen it with Nancy Pelosi and her husband. Her husband always picks the perfect stocks, and I wonder why. We also see it with, I mean, I'm sure Trump did policies that benefited him, right? We see it with every single politician. So this isn't quite a surprise. And it also is a surprise when, you know, you get a former finance minister to be the prime minister. I mean, what do you expect he's going to, you know, use his new power with, right? But that is ticking some people off, and that is something that I noticed as well with his election. So he isn't all perfect. I mean, better than Truss. People were saying they didn't like Truss very much. But he definitely isn't perfect by any means. Another really funny thing I saw online with Truss, somebody left out a head of lettuce. This is going to sound really silly. But they left out a head of lettuce right when Liz Truss got elected. And they left it out and they said, who's going to last longer, the lettuce or Liz Truss? If you can guess correctly, yes, it was the lettuce that actually lasted longer than Liz Truss. So that was quite funny. Quite a funny note as well. Continuing on, this is the party's second leadership contest in 2 months. In the first, Sunak was a clear favorite until Truss's late surge saw her elected by the party's nearly 200,000 paying members, who are mostly white, wealthy, and male, and tend to lean to the right of the British political center, which of course we can assume, because they are Conservative Party. This time, those members didn't have a say, since Sunuk was the only candidate to get the restricted support under lawmakers, so pretty much he was just, like, the only option. Johnson claimed he could have reached this threshold, and he may have well won a wider vote among the membership, but doing so would have strained a bitterly divided party to the breaking point. So unpopular Johnson in Parliament, Sunuk's other challenger, Morant, announces minutes before the 9 a.m. EAT deadline that she, too, has failed to gather enough support. Rishi has my full support, she said in a statement. So another note that I wanted to bookmark on this conversation here, and I might have completely forgotten as I was reading, and I may have to continue reading to remember. I think that just happened. Okay, I'm going to continue reading, and I'm sure I'll re-remember what I was going to say about this. I believe it was on the line of something about Truss and divided party and opponents of their challenger, threshold teammates, whatever, vote for the party. Yeah, I cannot quite bookmark it. I will get back to that. So anyways, the son of African-born Hindus of Indian Desert descent, Sunuk will be the country's second ethnic minority leader after Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli in the 1800s, which is absolutely insane, who is of Jewish descent but practicing Christian, so, like, let's be honest, not quite a minority. He was a minority, but not in the same way that we mention minorities now. So, like, when the leadership convenes on Diwali, the Hindu Festival of Lights, which people were super excited about, because obviously that's his holiday, and it was kind of perfect timing. Born in the southern part of Southampton, Sunuk became a member of the Parliament for Richmond in the northern region of Yorkshire in 2015. His rapid rise to the ranks saw him build his own personal brand with a slick social media operation and popular measures to alleviate economic pressure throughout the pandemic. The United Kingdom is a great country, but we face a profound economic crisis, Sunuk said on Twitter on Sunday. His only public comments during the latest leadership contest. I want to fix our economy, unite our party, and deliver for our country. It will be a Herculean effort as he takes the helm during domestic economic crisis, but is anxiously trying to find his place in the world after his departure from the European Union. Of course, Brexit. It's quite the time to be Prime Minister after you're left with the remains of Liz Truss and Boris Johnson. I guess that's what you have to do if you want to be leader, huh? So, we hope that Monday's coronation will help unite his fractured party, whose wingspan and cultural worry are free marketers to liberal centrists who would not look out of place in the American Democratic Party. Even tougher will bring an economic calm and stability as Britain faces a cost of living crisis, already forcing people to go hungry, and a painful recession as an obvious solution. Last week I spoke about recessions, and we are in the midst of recession. I believe it'll be a short one, probably a year to a year and a half. We go through, the business cycle goes through recession all the time, right? Recessions just come and go. But obviously, you don't want a recession. I'm so sorry. I opened Instagram, this is a side note, and I saw the President of the United States, Joe Biden, doing a Be Real meme, and that is the weirdest, you know, turn of events. Anyways, going back, I am so sorry. I told that person not to message me during my podcast. I am so sorry. I am going to mute this. I believe it was already muted a while ago. All right, perfect. All right, so going back to it, going back to Rishi. Of course, cost of living is getting higher in every single country, it's just continuing to develop, and obviously the UK has been left in ruins. So, Truss is stirred to an unsure fueled a crisis that's in an interest rate spiraling and the pound plunging, with markets now expecting that the government will cut spending and increase taxes as a result. Sunuk has not said what his policies will be, which is, you know, quite an interesting tactic, but has been a long-time advocate of budgetary restraint. So Sunuk is seen by many at the party as technocratic, stabilizing influence following the mayhem of the Johnson-Truss era. During his leadership election with Truss last month, he has warned many of her tax-paying policies would bring economic disaster, and he was right. So it's very good that he does have a finance background, obviously a clear one that's very strong, as clearly he predicted everything that Truss was doing was going to be a mess, and it was. Though Johnson ultimately chose not to fight this contest, it is the latest flashpoint between the two men, become fierce rivals after serving top positions in government. But after yet another scandal emerged, raising questions of Johnson's relationship to the truth, Sinek resigned and ultimately helped bring down his then boss. All while Sinek is not as symphonious with the relations about the boozy lockdown busting parties as Johnson, police found that he, too, had broken the law over the Partygate affair and issued him with a fine. Earlier this year, him and his wife, Ashutosha Murthy, 42, came under intense criticism after it emerged she had paid million less in taxes because she legally claimed non-domicile status in the UK, meaning she was treated as a foreign-based for tax reasons. Obviously, they're very wealthy, and many wealthy people do tax cuts. I remember when Trump had his whole, he only paid $700 in taxes one year. I'm quite sure it was the headlines, and people were like, oh my gosh, I spent more concert tickets than Trump spent on his taxes, or something, you know, whatever memes about that. So, you know, it's obviously not a surprise that, you know, Rishi and them have also done it. Nancy Pelosi is notorious for this. You know, I think everybody who's in politics to a degree knows how to, you know, do something like this. Though Sinek is a former banker, it's through his wife's father, the Indian software tycoon, that the couple sends in the estimated £730 fortune, or $825 million, so they're almost billionaires, making country couple richer than the king and Camilla, the queen consort. Though they are richer than them, obviously the British monarchy has tons of money just lying behind them, and their like jewels that they stole are worth, you know, more than life itself in a lot of ways. So obviously they're quite wealthy, and that statement's kind of off, but I get where they're trying to go at here. As well, their new residence in Down Street, they have four homes, including a penthouse in Santa Monica, California, overlooking the beach where Baywatch was filmed. Just an interesting fact. So yeah, that is the whole Rishi debacle there, or, you know, news. To be quite honest, I mean, he might be better than Truss, and I think that's a step up in any regard. Better than Johnson. I mean, as long as he fixes his economy, he's doing better than the last two we've had. But I think it's just going to be very interesting to see how he handles it, and how everything, you know, how everything runs. So now let's move on to our man, Kanye West, always in heat for something. And he officially is no longer a billionaire. I was going to say his stock. His net worth has plummeted. You know, let's speak about that. So, first, the big headline is that Adidas ends partnership with Ye over anti-Semitic remarks. So, Adidas ended a partnership that helped make the artist formerly known as Kanye West a billionaire and led the German sportswear an edgy appeal, but ultimately couldn't survive a mounting outcry over the rapper's offensive anti-Semitic remarks. The split will leave Adidas searching for another transition celebrity to compete with the ever-larger rival Nike, which is an interesting thing I want to note, because obviously Adidas is big, but Nike is bigger, and they're always competing with Nike. It's like, you know, Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Like, Coca-Cola will always be bigger than Pepsi, and they're always just, you know, trying to bite at straws, right? Grasp at straws. But it's interesting because Kanye really did build Adidas to be a bigger brand through his fame, and now they're losing that. But also, Kanye is losing his fame in a lot of regards because of the things he's been saying. So, it's a really interesting kind of catch-22 here. So, as the rapper is now known, the sneaker giant became the latest company to cut ties with Ye, whose music career has been in a decline after he courted controversy. He just said it is expected to take a hit of up to 250 million euros, or $246 million, to his net income this year from the decision to ultimately stop production of his line Yeezy products and stop payments to Ye and his companies. His shares closed down more than 2% on Tuesday, which is huge news. The statement was, Adidas does not tolerate anti-Semitism and any other sort of hate speech, Company said in a statement Tuesday. Ye's recent comments and actions have been unacceptable, hateful, and dangerous. They violate the company's values of diversity and inclusion, mutual respect, and fairness. For weeks, Ye, as we now call him, has been made anti-Semitic comments in interviews and social media, including a Twitter post earlier this month that he would soon go up to delete. That would go soon. Sorry, he didn't delete it. Twitter deleted it. And the quote, this was what he tweeted. I'm not saying this is what he tweeted. That's clarification. He tweeted, DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. And this is a apparent reference to the U.S. Defense Readiness Condition Scale known as DEFCON, which I don't really know what it quite the scale is, but obviously he's pursuing death on Jewish people, right? He was suspended from both Twitter and Instagram, which, I mean, he has been multiple times forever, but it's, you know, just coming back and back again. Ye expressed some regret in an interview with podcaster Lex Freeman, which I was about to watch the interview and I didn't, so I think I might tonight. But it looked very interesting because I know Lex always, you know, debates the people he's with and he's very good at that, so I'm curious about that. In which he characterized his initial tweet as a mistake and apologized to the Jewish community. An email message sent to representative for Ye was not immediately returned. Adidas has struck with Ye through controversies over his remarks about slavery and COVID-19 vaccines, which obviously were other big statements that he made that he didn't get any heat for in trouble, but I think this was just the final straw. I mean, he's done it so many times. Since his divorce with Kim, he's just been off the handle. I mean, he's always been off the handle, but he's even more off the handle. But Ye's anti-Semitic comments stirred up the company's own past ties with Nazi regime. The company has worked to leave behind, as they are German, of course. So that's an interesting angle, too, that I think we're forgetting. That, yeah, Adidas is German, and look how bad it looks that you guys are some anti-Semitic dude. And you've had ties with Nazis, right? So it's this whole backstory to this issue too. And that's another big aspect of it that I think we need to recognize. The World Jewish Congress noted that during World War II, Adidas factories produced supplies and weapons from the Nazi regime using slave labor. So that's a very interesting aspect. I would like to have a clear stance earlier from a German company that was also entangled in the Nazi regime. It was also Schoenhoff, president of Central Council of Jews in Germany, the main Jewish group in the country where Adidas is headquartered. Adidas, whose CEO, Kasper Wassenau, is stepping down next year, said it reached its decision after conducting a thorough review of its partnership with EA, whose talent agency, CAA, as well as Balenciaga Fashion House, had already dropped the rapper. So Balenciaga obviously had huge ties with Kanye, as they made tons of clothes together. Kanye wears their stuff all the time. It's huge. They cut ties with him as well. And everyone's just trying to get away from him, right? Balenciaga is a huge brand. They made a ton of money with Kanye, but they just can't do it anymore. And then his own talent agency dropped him, so no one's even backing him up anymore. In the hours before the announcement, some Adidas employees in the U.S. had spoken out on social media about the company's inaction. Despite growing controversy, Alan Addison, co-founder of marketing constantly Metaphors, believes that Adidas' delay response was understandable. So here's what he quoted. The positives are so substantial in terms of the audience it appeals to, younger urban trendsetters, the size of the business, Addison said. I'm sure they were hoping against hope that he would apologize and try to make it right. Which, of course, makes sense. I mean, if you were a business owner, you made that much money, you were getting relevancy because of this guy, you would just hope he would apologize and fix it. Which he was almost did before he ruined it. Adidas doesn't break out Yeezy slide numbers, but the impact was more severe than expected given the brand had ended production of all Yeezy products and ceased royalty payments, according to Morningside analyst David Schwartz. Schwartz projects overall Adidas revenues to reach 23.2 billion euros or $23.1 billion this year, with the Yeezy brand generating 1.5 billion to 2 billion euros or $1.99 billion or nearly 10% of the total. The pricey brand accounts for up to 15% of the company's net income. so you're losing 10% of your income and a lot of your audience. Forbes estimated that Adidas has accounted for $1.5 billion of Ye's net worth. So basically all of it. And without the deal, it will fall to $400 million. So Kanye literally lost, 75% of the net worth around. That includes to his music catalog, real estate, cash and stake, and his ex-wife Kim Kardashian's shaper company, Skims. Forbes said it will no longer include Ye on its list of billionaires, though the rapper has long insisted the magazine underestimates his wealth. But clearly, it's estimating it correctly now because he has, no wealth really left behind him. Yeah, he's alienated his adherent fans in recent years. Those close to him, like Kardashian and her family, have ceased publicity defending him. Couple's bitter divorce and unsettling post about recent relationship with Pete Davidson. Carl Lemmerin, Billboard's deputy of R&B hip-hop, said that many Ye fans have been disappointed by him, but the implosion of business endeavors was difficult to watch for those who admire the rapper's ability to reach new heights of success beyond hip-hop. This is someone who potentially laid out the blueprint for a lot of musicians coming up. The merch said, when you see someone graduate to this level of superstardom and transcend the business into fashion and touches a billionaire point for our community, for hip-hop, for African-Americans, that's very aspirational, right? Ye was very inspiring as he paved the way for all these people. But the same kids, even myself, who are once super fans, you try to defend him, but every day he gives you a reason not to be able to, Omera said. The rapper, who has won 24 Grammy Awards, has been steadily losing audience on radio, and even his streaming numbers have declined slightly over the last month. Quoting David by Lemaire, in a tender-made data, an insights company whose data providers at Billboard Music Charts, his airplay audience has slipped from 8 million in the week ending September 22nd to 5.4 million in a week on the 20th of October. The popularity of his songs and streaming on demand also went down the same period, about a 9% drop. Ye has earned more of a reputation for stirring up controversy since 2016 when he was hospitalized in Los Angeles because what his team called of stress and exhaustion. It was later revealed that he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, which of course makes sense. He suggested slavery and a choice of what he's called COVID-19 vaccine as the mark of the beast. According to other comments, he was criticized earlier in the month during Paris Fashion Week for wearing a White Lives Matter t-shirt. To show and putting models in the same design after he was suspended from Twitter and Facebook. Ye opted by Parler, a conservative social network with no gatekeeper. The fashion, music, and apparel world continued to distance himself from Ye on Tuesday. Foot Locker said it was cutting ties with the Yeezy brand and Yeezy Shores and some of the online sites. Gap said it would remove Yeezy Gap product and shut down YeezyGap.com. Universal Music Group, which owns Def Jam Abel, said Tuesday the statement that Ye's music and merchandise contracts ended this year. This is all insane. He has some of the biggest songs in the world is getting cut. MRC Studio announced Monday that it's showing a complete documentary about the rapper, which we actually saw a documentary about him on Netflix, but I guess another one is being made and it's getting cut. There's a few other information about this, but basically Ye is just being dropped. It's kind of, his legacy is kind of just dropping. And I really wish he would just, my thoughts on this, I wish he would just sit down, look in the mirror, and I know he's bipolar and he has other issues, but I wish he would really think and say, I'm this big rapper, I'm this, I'm that, why am I ruining my whole life, why am I ruining my whole legacy, when I could be building it up, right? If he didn't make these comments, if he was safer online, if he wasn't this crazy figure, he would be a lot more successful, or he'd be in safer waters right now. But then you also have to ask the question, is he this successful? Is he this amazing because he's so insane? And because he pushes the bear and pokes the bear? I think he's so successful because, yeah, he does poke the bear. And I think that's really the thing we have to remember. Kanye isn't Kanye without being this crazy madman that we all look at and we question and we wonder about. He is this crazy because that's just his character, and he's so successful because of that. I mean, now he's not even a billionaire, which is obviously insane, and just everything's dropping for him, and it's sad in a way, but it's his life and he decided that for him, self. And it's up to him to apologize or get things back to normal, but it won't go back to normal. Honestly, the best bet he can make is apologize, start making better decisions. And, I mean, honestly, the next step is to just separate Yeezy from everything, which obviously has already happened. You know, kind of fix what he has, build himself off, and, you know, build his brand off of his new personality, and then just leave it Yeezy off of everything, make Yeezy a different entity, and that'll fix a ton. And then, you know, I guess try and make money on his own, and it'll be difficult, and it probably won't go back to the same. I don't think it will, but that's his best bet. So overall, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. That's all I got planned for today. I think it's just really interesting, obviously, the new British Prime Minister. Hopefully, he lasts longer than 45 days. And as well, Kanye is a mess, and we'll see what he gets up to in the next week. I'm sure there will be more news next week. So if you'd like to support the channel, and if you'd like to stay on top of the news about the channel, please connect on the Instagram page at ever.changingworld. Again, the Instagram is at ever.changingworld. Twitter is at everchangingwor. Again, at everchangingwor. The website is shows.acast.com/ever-changing-world. Again, shows.acast.com/ever-changing-world. Thank you so much for listening. Please tune in next week, next Tuesday, for another amazing episode. Follow to stay updated. And the world is always changing.